This is Rating Descending,
where we watch IMDb's Worst 250 so you don't have to.
My name is Abigail Ward.
And I'm Michelle St. Clair.
And tonight, we watched Area 51. Three young conspiracy theorists attempt to uncover the mysteries of Area 51, the government secret location rumored to have hosted encounters with alien beings. What they find at this hidden facility exposes unimaginable secrets. Let's march. Jesus.
That's that good, good. That's that yummy yum, or whatever. That
yum.
That's that yum. Doesn't the Biebs say that in his song Yummy?
The Biebs?
Justin Bieber?
I trust you fully on that one.
Please don't trust me on Justin Bieber. That's not... I'm not an authority. I've never been a fan. Speaking of things that are yummy, I've been doing work on a new series. Like I mentioned, I think a couple episodes ago that I was watching a bunch of K-dramas as research and they're fucking good.
Mm.
It's now been announced. It's like this Screen Australia web series called No Ordinary Love, very K-drama inspired, you know. It's been rad working on it.
That's so sick.
We're still in the middle of editing.
Very, very exciting. What's the general premise of it?
It being very like rom-com style. It's, oh my God, the main character, Hyanu, the love of his life, Beck, broke up with him completely out of the blue with no explanation.
Mm.
Now, 7 months later, it's the wedding of his sister, Hannah, to some like weird influencer, and Beck is going to be there. It's the first time they've seen each other in 7 months. They could probably just avoid each other, except the bride has gone missing. So now they've got to sort of work together to find the bride before the ceremony.
Oh.
Will it rekindle a romance? I guess you'll have to find out in probably September or August.
Very exciting.
Not August. It's not going to be August. September or October. I have no idea what the final release is, but
yeah.
I'll let you guys know.
Yeah, please keep us updated. Very exciting.
It's been really cool working on it. It's nice to have something that I can actually go like this, and I can definitively say it's this thing, and it's going to come out at some point, rather than like it's super nebulous, and everyone who knows about it
can't talk about it.
Can't talk about it. And if they can, they didn't tell me.
Speaking of like really good things that's out at the moment or coming out, is out. On the weekend, I watched Top Gun Maverick and fuck, it was good. Fuck, it was insanely good. It's all I can think about since seeing it. Just because, have you seen the original Top Gun?
I haven't seen it since I was like 13.
Yeah.
Which tracks.
Well, the original Top Gun, it's iconic, but it's not that great. Like, it's a bit boring and slow.
But also, at the same time, it's really tight and good if you're used to just modern blockbusters. Like, it's not as tight as Die Hard, but I would say, given that we're used to, say, a mediocre Marvel movie being the pinnacle of franchise blockbuster, Top Gun's pretty solid.
It's, I don't know about that, because the opening, the setup of it, is really good to introduce the characters and introduce the kind of guy that Maverick is. He's the kind of guy that will help out his buddies and put himself on the line to do it. He's like a larrikin. You know what he does for work. You know who is like, you know who Goose is. They set that up really well. And then the film tragically flags about 20 minutes in and becomes really slow. And me and Claude were like, I showed it to him before we went to go see Maverick. And he was like, man, this film is like, hard to follow. Like I was like, it's not hard to follow. There's just not much happening. Like you think that there's more happening. Yeah, there's planes and
the drama.
But the action sequences aren't even that well shot. You know, they're a bit like,
I don't understand the stakes of this. Sure.
And I don't understand, like, it's hard to even tell which plane is which. So it becomes a bit confusing. So we were like, yeah, it was fun. Like it was cool. Like the atmosphere was amazing. But the plot itself was pretty meh.
I also do think on revisit, when people remember it as like, oh yeah, that movie, you know, very homoerotic, you throw it off as a bit, and then when you watch it you're like, no, it's not a joke, it's incredibly homoerotic.
I think Tom Cruise even said, he was like, Top Gun isn't about loving ladies, it's about loving men.
Yeah.
Like, it's about like dude love.
It's like Roadhouse. Is to paraphrase someone else, like if the 80s is a very homophobic era, when you put your thumb on a hose it sprays everywhere.
Yeah.
And Top Gun is the result.
So in the first Top Gun, Goose dies, right? Maverick is about Goose's son, Rooster.
What?
Yeah, it's Tom Cruise obviously returning and like...
They're not even similar birds. They're both birds, but it's not...
Apparently he chose Rooster because it's in the same family as geese.
I mean,
I don't know if that's true.
But even if they are, like, okay, yep, cool, yep. Yeah, Goose turns into a beautiful rooster.
The action sequences were like, they were nail-biting. Like, you don't want to look away. I think that when the movie finished, you kind of have this feeling of, now that's fucking entertainment, you know? Yeah. Like, that film kept me on the edge of my seat from the beginning to the end.
I've also heard from a friend of the podcast, Gaydon Souza, that it does, in particular, the thing that I wish... That frustrates me about most big studio movies that I go see, which is that the third act is actually tight and it's not 45 minutes long.
Really tight.
Ooh, that's yeah. good. That's tempting, baby. And the beginning's really baby. Tight.
You know, it takes off immediately. It's kind of like a slow, like, Top Gun-y setup of, like, the shots of the planes. And I think they literally took the footage from the first film for the first 3 minutes of it.
Yeah.
And then it just, like, cuts to Tom Cruise and they're like, hey, we've got this huge problem.
Hell yeah.
And he's like, no worries, let me try and fix it. And cool. then that leads into, like, the actual invitation, like, them saying, you need to return to Top Gun. And he's like, I can't. And they're like, you've got to.
It looks like this gun needs a top.
It was so good.
Trying to think of how it's homoerotic, you know? All yeah, right,
Top Gun.
All right, Maverick, Telling I'll be your bottom. Okay. That's the famous end of the first one, right? Iceman looks at him and he's like, I'll be your bottom gun.
And then the sex scene starts again. Yeah. Wow, wow, wow, wow. Wow, wow. I have to say, in the original film, they genuinely used that song a criminal amount. Like, they use it like 7 or 8 separate times for the movie, and you're like, really?
I forgot that. Is it like how I love The Departed, but you get a little bored of the one refrain from that Dropkick Murphys song?
Yeah, because
they don't use different bits of it. They use the very beginning of it, including at one point using it up to the point we've heard it to, and then Jack Nicholson yells something, and then it starts again.
Yeah.
Just keep it going to the next bit.
What they did to redeem themselves in that movie is use Gimme Shelter at the perfect primo time. You know?
Excellent movie song. I mean, that's a good song. But
even like... I was like a fucking 10-year-old girl watching that film and I was just like, this is sick. And I just can't even imagine the testosterone that must have pumped through young men watching that film. You would have been like, oh my God,
the jets, the explosions, what? I assume the one negative is you have to watch Miles Teller for like, what, 90, 120 minutes?
Yeah, but he was good. Have you seen the whole thing on TikTok about women like frothing him, being like, he's so hot what? With a moustache? Yeah, Miles Teller, because of his role, has become like the weirdest sex symbol.
Oh, but women, like...
Women.
Nah, women.
Man.
No, I'm just being like, these women need to more closely examine Miles Teller's behaviour. He's not going to be nice to you.
He's a fucking arsehole, right? Yeah. All I've heard about Miles Teller is that he's difficult to work with.
Yeah.
But also... I feel like if anyone's going to keep him in check, it's working with Tom fucking Cruise because...
What?
Well, I mean, like, he was working alongside Tom Cruise. I feel like Tom Cruise wouldn't have fucking taken any of that shit, you know?
Tom Cruise is going to do nothing but encourage this and then go like, hey, if you feel that you are a god, I have a great place I can tell you about. It's called the Church of Scientology.
I'm not saying that Tom Cruise isn't a fucked up person. I'm saying Tom Cruise is the kind of guy that's like, you can't be crazy. I'm fucking crazy. So you keep your fucking head in.
You think you can out crazy me?
Where's the couch?
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Then it becomes a pissing contest of crazy.
I just don't think that he would humor it. He's like, that's my fucking shtick, so find something else to do. I'm the one that's like hard to
Miles Teller goes back to his trailer, opens up his closet, Tom Cruise walks out, and is like, if you think you can pull that shit on my set.
You were just in the cafeteria. What the fuck?
You don't even know what I'm capable of. And his eyes like blink sideways.
Speaking of good things that I watched this weekend... This is also a bad thing I watched this weekend.
Rough.
This weekend.
It's what this movie deserves.
Yeah. This weekend. We watched Area 51.
Yeah, we did it.
Watching this film, that feels like a bold statement in that. I know my eyes saw it, but I don't know what I watched, and I don't know what I spent my time looking at.
What I wish is that I didn't describe, I can't even remember what movie it was. I think it's been, at this point, 3 movies. I wish I hadn't previously used the description of impossible to focus on for an earlier movie, because it just keeps being true about more things.
Yeah, what's with the streak of... insanely boring found footage films, and I know you're going to contest that again, but it's classified as a found footage film.
I mean, No one found the footage, you know? No one found it.
So we found it. We're the audience. We're finding it.
What, someone showed it to us in a theater.
They found it.
Who found it? You know? Blair Witch, we found this. Here it is. No one found this. That's the problem.
You're going into Jerry Seinfeld territory.
Hey, no. They call it found footage. No one found it. Jerry doesn't sound anything like that, and it's become the impression. You know what I mean? Sometimes when we go into these episodes, there's this like unspoken or even spoken worry of like, what are we going to talk about? And then we like get energy going. We're like, yeah, okay, cool. And then, yeah, as soon as we had to start talking about this, it's gone.
Yeah, we're way back down to zero, baby. How can we pump ourselves up, Michelle? Come on. Michelle, here's a song for you. We're going to talk about Area 51. Here's a song for you. Coming out of my tongue.
Okay. What?
Coming out of my tongue.
Oh, whoa.
Michelle's like glue.
Like an alien, how there's a little mouth on the end of the tongue. Okay.
That we have to watch this movie, that we have to speak about it.
Yeah.
Sinclair.
Yeah, that's me.
Just don't fail.
Yeah, it's not
this
fair.
This movie sucked.
Yeah, dude.
I wanna fuck.
Mmm.
Michelle Sinclair.
Ooh, baby.
Michelle Sinclair.
It's just sometimes we get to, you know.
Did that fix the episode?
Yeah, I think so.
Great.
You call neutering a dog fixed, right? Yeah, we fixed the episode. you know, sometimes we get delightfully bad movies like Highlander 2, and then sometimes we get like Wrinkle in Time or Spy Kids where it's like, nah, having a delight. And yeah, you know, sometimes it's just like, yeah, no, this is actually a pretty bad movie.
This makes it worth it. But yeah, this week makes it all not worth it.
That's what makes us unique, you know? Other bad movie podcasts wouldn't touch this movie. They'd watch it and be like, this isn't entertaining to talk about. Well, let's challenge that notion.
We are different. We're the people that linger on things that have no meat on its bones, you know?
Yeah.
We are sucking bones dry in this podcast, and everyone's a fucking afraid to do it, but we're not.
Everyone's afraid to suck the movie's meat.
Yeah.
But we're here at Rating Descending HQ.
Meat sucking away.
Call us the meat suckers, baby.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be here slobbering over the bones of this movie, sucking all
people
that meat.
Go up, we're rating descending, we go down on the meat.
Yeah,
all right,
we're going down on the meat, and we're slobbering in a second.
Yeah,
until the meat's gonna give us its juice.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And we're gonna lap up that juice.
We're gonna lap up that meat juice,
baby.
We're
gonna swallow it all down, because that's what we do. We swallow it.
There's gonna be fucking, you know. Yeah, I think I'm out.
Well, Michelle, that was Area 51. What are we watching next week?
Man, I really thought I was going somewhere.
I also couldn't focus on this film.
Yeah.
I had it on while I was trying to do other things, and I came to the point of I can't try to do other things while it's on because it can't grab my attention. I have to like literally go back and start again because I'm not paying attention at all. Nothing about it is grabbing me. Sometimes I can watch a movie while doing like just literally typing something up, like doing the research. Couldn't do it. I had to pay full attention because nothing was happening.
Yeah. I'm not here for the podcast recording, you know? If it wasn't for the fact that you're going to give me an overview and tell me what the fuck was going on in the last 30 minutes of this movie, I don't know if I would have showed up today.
The great thing about this film is that I was worried the overview would be impossible to complete because nothing happens. But that's the trick of it, see? Nothing happens. So my overview is very succinct.
I feel like you're going to run into the same problem that I did last week, where you have to describe something happening that is actually unintelligible when you watch it on screen.
I actually think I did an okay job with the overview this week. Do you want to hear it?
I do.
All right. Well, this is just some general information about the film before I do the overview. It was released in 2015.
Okay.
It has 4.2 stars on IMDb.
Mm-hmm. We're still there, baby.
It was directed and shot by Oren Peli, the guy that did Paranormal Activity.
Right. So this is the comeback.
Yeah.
Return of the King.
Kind of. It was also co-written by Peli and a guy called Christopher Denham. I actually don't know what Christopher Denham has done. Let me just check, actually. Oh, he's an actor.
Oh.
He was an actor in Shutter Island, Argo, Money Monster, and the show Billions.
Okay.
He's quite a well-known actor. But an actor does not a screenwriter make.
No, not at all.
Not at all. The budget of this film was $5 million.
That's higher than I thought. Yeah.
Do you want to guess how much it made?
Okay, it's hard because sometimes these movies bomb so hard. And sometimes,
but then you've got things like,
like last week, Devil Inside, where it made $100 million and I'd never heard of it. I'm gonna guess, if not just in contrast to last week, I feel like the comeback of Oren Peli is going to bomb hard. Mm-hmm. I think it made under $1 million.
So you think under $1 million?
That's my guess.
I misread it.
Oh. Oh, wait, this is an exclusive.
Do you want to keep guessing? Because it is under $1 million.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. How many digits?
Four.
Four? Under 10,000? Four, yeah. Digits? Are you kidding me? What? What the fuck? How much did it make?
It made $7,556.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I thought it was $7 million. I, like, misread it. Made $7,000.
$7,500?
Yeah. Yep.
Jesus. Yeah, that is in sharp contrast to last week. $7,000? That's the only box office statistic movie, like,
that's
I've heard.
That's the lowest we've had.
Oh, it's the lowest we've had. And it's the only one that punches me in the face harder than for a noted animation bomb Food Fight that was made for $70 million and made $70,000.
Yeah, yeah. I think about that all the time.
It's got to be a bonus episode.
It has to be a bonus episode. Okay, this is the overview.
Yeah.
A young man called Reed becomes fascinated with Area 51. He plans to infiltrate it and recruits his friends Darren and Ben to help. They meet Yelena, who assists them with the task. Reed, Darren, and Yelena, once inside, find a lab containing anti-gravity material, a lifelike liquid substance, and an alien spacecraft in a hangar. Darren gets separated from them. Going deeper into the complex, Yelena stumble on a colony of sleeping aliens. An alien awakens and chases them into a white chamber. Yelena is dragged away and Reed finds her in a trance. The chamber loses gravity and it is revealed that they're on board a spacecraft. Darren escapes the complex and returns to Ben, who was waiting for them. The pair then get abducted. The end. That's everything that happened.
I appreciate that you, one sentence in, skipped a full hour.
Yeah, because nothing happens for a full hour. The preparation to get inside the complex is of the movie.
I even wrote down in my notes, like, there was a point where I was like, okay, this movie's sucks. Let me just check. And I was like, I'm only 25 minutes in. I thought I could have sworn I was 45. It takes forever. Like, at the beginning, they're just partying and it's nothing. And then they talk about going. And then they finally start going.
And then they meet Yelena.
I think there's a full, like, 20 minutes of just them driving.
Yeah.
It's just them driving while Ben goes, like, I don't know about this, guys. Yeah. Could be getting bitches.
And then, yeah, they go to a strip club at one point and they're like, that was the best night ever.
That's it. That's that scene.
And then they meet Yelena's dad for a bit and Yelena's dad
No, because Yelena's dad died. It was a different guy.
I thought they met up with him. Oh, no, you're right. It was a different guy.
That was the whole thing, is that Yelena's dad had been inside Area 51 and made it out, but then he had died. He'd killed himself mysteriously. So they met up with a guy who, I also thought, I don't feel like we got any explanation of who the fuck that guy was.
Yeah.
And I guess the only thing that happens between the beginning and the midpoint, which I will say is at least a midpoint, is they break into the guy who works there's house to steal the pass. And it's just a breaking and entering.
Yeah.
It's not really anything.
Yeah, that's why I didn't mention
it's
in the overview.
Night vision for 10 minutes.
Yeah, because there's a lot of setup of them figuring out how to do it. They get a security pass and, like, they get these suits. That means they can't be detected and yada, yada, yada. There's a lot of shit about them getting ready for the break-in, but that's nothing.
I just hate... It's the thing we've talked about, like every one of these movies, the structure is the first act is 45 minutes. Or rather, the first half of the first act is 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it's another 15 to 20 minutes until we get to the actual first act.
It's like a full hour till they break in, yeah.
Yeah. It's called Area 51. They gotta get in there. Or at least make their trials of preparing anything rather than them just talking, we're gonna do it. Stop it. It's like when we watched Paranormal Activity 4 and there wasn't any paranormal activities until we were like an hour fucking in.
Yeah.
Watching this movie really reminds me of how we tried to watch X-Files and then we were like, hey, this is still a good, well-written show. The cultural context of someone going, it's conspiracies. They're lying to you. The government's all...
It hasn't aged well.
It just felt different. I think because we also started watching it just after the insurrection.
Yeah.
And so it was like peak of QAnon and we're like, I don't know.
We got three episodes deep and I think we're a bit like, this just isn't for us at the moment. And it's not a problem with the show. It's just a problem with the times.
Would Duchovny have stormed the Capitol? Maybe.
Probably.
I don't know if I want to watch a show about this guy.
Again, I honestly think the concept of aliens is fascinating, and I do genuinely believe, knowing how enormous the universe is, I do believe there's life out there. I just don't believe it's come into contact with Earth. Like, that's honestly my take, is we don't have... These traces are always such a far reach.
Yeah.
The things that we think we see are always such a far reach.
It's such a vast universe, but that requires such vast differences, that distances, that we don't... Like, we don't currently have any... know of any means to... move faster than the speed of light, and that would already be a threat, like a universal stop sign, like a universal, like a threshold, a universal threshold of you stop, you can't go further than this and meet someone else.
A barrier
maybe. Yeah, it's you know, maybe there are ways around that, but also, like, I think people, because of how comparatively long to a human lifespan human history is, we kind of underestimate how short it is. Like, we know there's been humans doing stuff for 60 to 80,000 years because we found remains in Australia of indigenous peoples and stuff. But, like, our, like, more modern concept of, like, the Greek and Egyptian and Mesoamerican civilizations, 10,000, but then they also would have collapsed at various times. So it's really a few thousand years we're talking about. And then we talk about, like, the dinosaurs. They were not only hundreds of millions of years ago, but went for hundreds of millions of years. Like, if you were an alien and you were looking out into the galaxy, this is such a narrow fucking window of time to spot humans.
Yeah. And they'd probably check us out and be like, we'll come back later. They've still got some brewing to do. Or, like, fuck, we missed the dinosaurs.
Yeah. Or there's the other, like, there's so many theories that I think are interesting of why we haven't seen. Like, the universal blackout theory. I can't remember the actual name of it, but, like, there's a reason that the interstellar communications are dangerous that we haven't discovered yet, which is a really interesting, if terrifying, theory. Similar to how, like, with second rule of thermodynamics, the in an isolated system, energy will always deplete. Like, there's a civilizational crisis point where, like, civilizations can only get so big before they implode upon themselves. So if there have been aliens on other planets, maybe they've all collapsed.
Yeah. I've heard that theory as well.
Like, maybe we're first. That's one I think is interesting. Maybe there will be other aliens, but we are actually first. Yeah. We did it in our galaxy first.
We're basically the origin story of Battlestar Galactica. Yeah. There truly was a 13th colony called Earth, and we came first.
We're the COBOL that will later spread to the 13 colonies. Yeah.
I just think, just to go back a tiny bit, I often look at a lot of alien conspiracies or a lot of, like, I don't look at them a lot. I come across them. And my response is, in the words of a great woman from a week ago, fake. No such thing. Just didn't happen.
Well, it's because...
that ain't an alien.
It's because they're
it's
not even...
ship.
They're not even clever.
Yeah. You
know? they just don't make any sense.
And this is coming from a girl who, in year 5, when she was 10 years old, really got into the moon landing conspiracy and thought I'd really just, like... I found so much evidence pointing to the fact that it was a conspiracy online that I got a little kind of, like, yellow slip, like a yellow package. And I just I printed out all of the evidence that I had and the photos that I had. I made, like, a scrapbook and I put it in the slip and I, like, sealed it and I put confidential on the front and I gave it to my mom. And she read it and she was like, this is great, sweetie. And I've still got it somewhere. So I'm pretty sure that, I proved the moon landing conspiracy back in 2005.
So what you're saying is you would have stormed the Capitol.
I did storm the Capitol.
What?
Did you see me that week at all?
Oh, my God.
No, I was in lockup in D.C.
No.
I was the gunman on the grassy knoll. But,
Whoa.
Yeah.
Not only were you storming the Capitol, but you also did that.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And I killed Lincoln.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How old are you?
As old as time.
Oh, that's cool. So you're like in Wrinkle in Time.
Witch.
You're Mrs. Witch.
Yeah.
Which again, Wrinkle in Space.
Yeah.
You're the Wrinkle in Time.
Michelle, they needed you in 1962 when the novelist was writing that book.
You know what I wonder in terms of conspiracy? You know how it's almost become a trope that almost any show about or comic or book about conspiracies now or in the 20th century or like tracing the roots of a conspiracy now, like almost all of them will at some point touch on the JFK assassination. Like Umbrella Academy does it. I'm pretty sure Assassin's Creed does it at some point, going like the Templars did JFK. It's like become a standard of like if there is a secret thing, it will also have been involved with JFK.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to do that with the insurrection? And like they're going to, like in 30 years when they're like, ha ha ha, here we are in the, out in the hell wastes, you know, making, we have America 2 or whatever it's called at that point. We're making this TV show. Oh yeah, there's this secret organization. They were behind the insurrection, JFK, 9/11.
I think the only conspiracy theory I actually can get behind, apart from the moon landing one, is the Knights Templar treasure from National Treasure. Now that I believe in.
The Templars is like the other JFK. It's like it's always the Templars to a point that like never made sense and is mostly to do with weird protocols of the Elder Zion going like Templars and the Illuminati are the same thing, which is also crazy and just anti-Semitic. But it's, yeah, it's always, the Templars did it.
The Templars did everything, dude.
They did everything.
Yeah.
Didn't you know?
They had cool tunics and they stole a bunch of shit.
What gets me is there were other knightly orders. Why not go the Teutonic Order did it? They tried to take over a bunch of cities and countries. That's kind of rad.
Yeah.
What happened to them?
The Teutonic Order were just a bit like lame. They had cool robes. I think they had like the black tunics with like the white crosses.
Yeah.
And they had like a sick goth vibe.
Yeah.
But they just didn't do
in
that much.
In the Northern Crusades, you know? We don't talk about as much, where the they were like, Templar. They're still fucking pagans. Let's get rid of them.
There was a third kind of Templar as well, a third kind of like order.
I mean, there was many. There was like.
No, but I mean, during the Crusades when the Knights Templar was
formed. The Hospitallers?
Yeah. Cool guys.
I mean, no, none of them were cool guys. They were all religious nuts who
they
wanted to...
They were the original fraternity.
Murder huge amounts of
people. Animal House was based on the Knights Templar.
They wanted to aggressively kill and conquer everyone who wasn't Christian.
Michelle, I want to talk about some trivia, but, you know, if there's anything we want to touch on about the movie before we continue, we can. I just don't know what it would be.
I wanted to talk about one or two things that I had written down. One is, damn, that was a wet alien. Stranger Things 4, which has some of the best subtitles I've seen because the subtitles are not only accurate, but also descriptive. Mm. I love descriptive subtitles, even though they're silly when you can hear it.
Mm.
They're good because they're about engaging the people the captions are for. Yeah. But boy, do they love that phrase, wet squelching. And yet, even Stranger Things would be like, all right, this is a little excessively wet.
Because obviously everyone's talking about Stranger Things at the moment.
Yeah.
Claude had never seen it. And he was like, should I finally get on Stranger Things? And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I showed him the first two episodes last night. And he was like, this is way better than I even thought it would be.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
But
he pointed out something good.
Oh, yeah.
Which is that in that first scene where Will goes missing.
Mm-hmm. It's a great first scene.
They did this really smart thing. They're really good at subverting your expectations without you quite realizing.
Mm.
And Claude was like, oh, is this going to be a thing where you don't get to see the monster? And I was like, kind of, but not really, because immediately Will is in the house and he looks through the garden and you see the figure of the monster.
Mm.
And I was like, that was so much creepier than not showing us the monster.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see that creepy figure in the distance. That is such a good way to give us an indication of what form this monster takes, rather than just like, it being like the electricity or the lights in the air and him vanishing. The fact that they just show you the monster means that you know there's a real tangible thing that is there to haunt them all. And it was just, I never thought about that, but it was such a smart thing to do to introduce this monster. They didn't fuck around with, you'll never see him. You see him.
Yeah.
You see his figure.
But then it's like hidden in the way that in Alien, you know, you see the facehugger, you see the baby alien. So you have enough in your head that then you imagining this big dangerous thing is so much scarier.
It doesn't tell you everything about the monster. You don't know why it's there or how it's all happening. You don't understand the world, but it just gives you the right taste that you need of the monster.
I really love Stranger Things. It's actually one of my favorite things, and I feel like it's not supposed to be. You know, there's those things that we culturally deem, even if everyone likes it, it's like it's not supposed to, you're not supposed to like it that much or whatever.
Really? Because I always thought people loved Stranger Things and there was no shame around
but that's what it. I feel like people like it, but then there's this like eye roll at it post season one if you're meant to go like, oh, you know, it fell off, or like, oh, everyone loves it or whatever. But it's like first season pulled me in so hard.
It was amazing. So obsessed with it. It was immaculate.
I thought season two is better than you did, even though we both agreed that one spin-off episode
was terrible.
Awful.
I just felt season two was repetitive. Yeah. I didn't feel like it actually... It went too dark, whereas season three pulled me back in because they were like, let's make it camp and fun again, and let's make it super 80s, and the fashion will be different. It felt like season two was this knockoff of season one, but season three they actually embraced it, being like, we have to change as a show and we need to keep evolving.
Was
what made it so strong.
Season two is the weakest season. I do think it's still fine and good
Max
TV
and Billy weren't very interesting introductions. Like, I know everyone went crazy over Billy and his stupid mullet in
Billy was
two.
Introduced in season three. He wasn't in season two, I don't think.
Yeah,
Max and was Billy. But I don't think Billy was.
Really?
Maybe I'm wrong.
I thought they came together. That was the whole point. I'm fairly sure they were introduced together in season two.
Yeah.
And I just didn't find them very interesting additions, to be honest. And Billy was a really...
Both of them were used a lot better in season three.
Yeah, they were. But I didn't think Billy had much depth to offer as a character. I didn't think Max was that interesting apart from her having a crush on Lucas. Like, I just... Yeah.
I also fucking am obsessed with Robin so much.
Robin was amazing. Oh, and her whole story arc with Steve in season three and the twists and turns it took. I loved it. I thought that was so well done.
I was talking to a close friend of mine about L in season four. It is specifically the first few episodes, because then her storyline goes a whole direction. But like, she's hit this point, right? Like, at the beginning it's like, oh my god, she's come out of a lab, so she doesn't really talk much. It's like specific,
and she's going through a lot of trauma.
Yeah. And then it's, you know, she lives in the woods. she's hit this point in the beginning of season four in particular, in the way that she's like trying to integrate the world, but is still like clearly like feeling that differentiation between herself and everyone else, and the way that the other kids have done that thing that kids do, and that they click on to difference even without consciously needing to. And also, I saw some Gen Z people being like, the bullies are like so wild, no one does that. And I'm like, oh my god, their lives are so much better now.
Yeah,
apparently a lot of the anti-bullying things have worked, because bullies were that brutal.
Yeah.
And it means that the way that Elle is presented in season four almost feels like neurodivergent in a way, in her like struggle to communicate and clearly having it scanned differently to everyone and feeling that difference, and the way she gets overwhelmed and cries.
Yeah.
It was almost too much for me to handle. It felt too relatable, especially when there was the big bully scene.
Yeah.
It just broke my heart, but it's good fucking TV, man. That's a good season. Season four fucking going off.
I'm
I love
so
that
keen.
Show.
I really want to watch it. Also, I, over the weekend, watched the US Love on the Spectrum because I've exhausted the Australian one. And the US one was fantastic and so touching, and it is so heartwarming. And I was thinking about this. I was thinking about how lucky we are that we have just normal, easy to digest reality TV that brings so much awareness to different kinds of autism and things that people like, the reason behind why certain people are different. And there was this one guy in the US one called Steve, and he was like a 60 something year old man, and he only got like diagnosed with autism like 2 years ago. And for this man to have lived his entire life knowing that he's different and not knowing why, and not knowing the way that his brain works, and finally having this revelation later in life that it is something that has a label and has a diagnosis and something that can be talked through, is so huge for him. And it's just, I kept tearing up watching him because he's the sweetest, friendliest old man, and just he is so distinctive. And I think it would have been so difficult going through life and just not being able to put a name to something that is such a big part of your life. So it moved me so much.
Both David Byrne of Talking Heads and Gary Newman, who wrote the song Cars, within the last 5 years, I think, have said they've realized that they are autistic.
Yeah.
And they have been the whole time.
Yeah.
and like, it just makes me so happy seeing that and seeing them get to, and like, you can see it in their work so clearly.
Yeah. And there's a girl in the US one called Abby, and she describes the feeling as being like there's a different human trapped inside of me, or like I'm stuck, you know, like that, like my internal world doesn't match the way that I'm presenting to the outside world. Like, I feel like I'm a different human in here, or that I'm not a human at all, and that I feel like I'm trapped in a human's body. Like, she has this really odd odd phrasing of it, basically being like, the way that I am, I feel stuck inside.
Yeah.
And like, I don't relate to my outside self very much. And I was like, that is such a...
Oh my God, that's so relatable.
Yeah. And I was like, that's such a heartbreaking, but interesting perspective into what it must be like to experience such being on the spectrum in that way, you know, to the degree that she is. And yeah, I think we're really fucking lucky to like live in a world where we get to watch TV like this, and it's fun and enjoyable, and it's heartwarming, and it doesn't talk down to the people that are involved. It doesn't patronize them,
which is a real difference to the original.
It truly creates more understanding of people like this. And what always breaks my heart, or rather like what makes me tear up the most, is the parents involved, because all they want is for their kid to be happy and their kid to be loved. And I just bawled throughout every episode of it. So I think you should watch it. It's hell really, really sweet.
I'm keen. I think I'll probably cry, but hell yeah.
Oh, I cried so much.
It sounds fucking rad.
There's really nice results from it, let's say that.
Hell yeah. One last thing I do want to comment with this movie outside of that. I mean, hey, you know, found it relatable, because I've said at times that I feel like an alien. So, you know, maybe I was in Area 51. But one of my favorite things, and it was one of the only bits that I thought was funny, which was specifically they make it to the room with, I guess, all the experiments.
Yeah.
And, you know, they see a rock, but it's floating. And then he looks, Darren, who, oh man, so close to being the first black guy on this list to make it to the end. He finds this little, I guess it's like a little container inside of a terrarium of this like liquid. And then as he goes near it, it starts bubbling. And he's like, this is the craziest shit I've ever seen in my life. And it fully just looks like thick milk bubbling. And that's it.
Dude, like, that's just porridge.
It then later,
just porridge on the stove.
It's the craziest shit I've ever seen in my life. It's just bubbly milk.
I'm glad you were able to extract one distinct moment out of this film.
And I noticed something. Because, you know, we talk about returning actors, no returning actors, but this is another Jason Blum thing.
Yeah.
We should go back and double check how many Jason Blum things, because maybe he is the most frequent person on this list.
Oh my God, true.
Because another name that I saw on the list that immediately filled me with rage was Gregory Plotkin.
Oh my God.
The editor who, over a year, almost 2 years ago at this point, I swore I would duel to the death
via
in
editing.
The edit room. Yeah, via editing. Famously deadly sport, editing.
Well, all the arthritis.
Plotkin.
The bad posture.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, I really got to work on that.
Yeah.
I think I'm developing a hunch.
Do you want to hear some trivia?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Quasimodo? That's,
my hunch is that there's some trivia.
Your trivia senses are tingling. IMDb trivia. So I mentioned very specifically at the beginning that this film was released in 2015, but it wasn't shot or completed in 2015.
We've had this happen before, but the way you're leading into this makes me think it's longer than usual. When was it made?
It was completed in 2009.
What?
And it was just kept on the shelf for 6 years.
Oh, so when you see that Oren Peli didn't release anything after Paranormal Activity for years, that's not because he didn't make anything.
Apparently. It just didn't get released.
Well, to be fair, if I was a studio and I had paid someone to make a movie, that's how it works.
Yeah.
And then I watched this, I'd be like, yeah, I think we can leave this one.
When we've got a slow season, nothing else to...
Hey, we just made 100 mil from Devil Inside. I think we can afford to eat this.
Also, notably, the cast aren't known actors at all. Like, none of them are people that we've ever seen before. They're not famous.
Yeah.
They did something that they did in The Gallows, which was also full of people that were barely known, which is that the four main characters all use their actual first names. And I feel like it's so lazy in a way, you know? I know it's stupid because they just, it names are names, but at the same time, it's clear that the characters weren't actually created, that a writer didn't work on these profiles. Here's my last piece of trivia. When they break into the house of the security guy.
Yeah, yeah.
The home in question is the exact same house as the one from Paranormal Activity 2.
Wow.
That's all it is.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
It's a house. So what you're telling me is they already spent a lot of time in that house trying to figure out how to film it in an interesting way, and yet they lost all of that memory of how to shoot in this house in a way that is anything close to engaging.
I feel like Oren Peli should be inducted into the Rating Descending Hall of Fame for his work between Paranormal Activity and this fucking catastrophe.
Yeah. Look, Paranormal Activity, well, whatever you think, whatever that movie did critically, at least it had an impact. you know?
Yeah.
But, oh boy, I just hate so much of what happened in its wake.
Do you want to hear some reviews?
Yeah.
Reviews! On Rotten Tomatoes, this film has an approval rating of 14%. Brian Tallarico, yeah, Tallarico, writing for RogerRibert.com, hey, gave the film 1.5 stars, mainly criticizing the film's generic plot and pacing. A.A. Dowd from the AV Club, who we've come across many times, gave this a C-minus rating and criticized the film's originality when compared to Oren Peli's previous film, Paranormal Activity.
Ah.
This made me laugh. This was a review left by William Bibian of Crave Online. He wrote, "You can literally skip the first 45 minutes of Area 51 and not miss a thing."
Yes, because the start of the movie is 45 minutes in.
Yeah.
This is a short that is 30 minutes long and you would watch it and you go, I reckon you could cut 10.
Yeah, 100%. Here's an IMDb review. 10 out of 10 review left by RBN_LRK-.
Well, that's Ribbon Lurk.
Ribbon Lurk. And the subject is Area 51 memes storms coming this summer.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. I think we know when this was written.
If you want a happy ending, don't look at handheld camera UFO movies, especially this. Now let's see if groundbreaking news will come out of the real Area 51. Good movie for a space-themed Halloween party. 10 out of 10.
It's not space-themed.
Space-themed. This is a 9 out of 10 review left by Mohiel Dean, and the subject is, it's all about the Greys.
Hey, it's all about the Greys, but, well, wait, what? Oh, the aliens? I feel like there's some weird thing we're missing.
I don't think that's the only thing you're going to find strange about this review.
Oh, no.
In terms of cinematography, it's not going to announce for Oscar or any festival prizes. But in terms of telling facts that people witness early in their ages, it does that with Simply Way, which makes it so connected because it's just a guy's adventure. This film has lower rate because people still don't believe there are some other creatures living with us in this flat earth.
Where did that come from?
And government in different country deal with them secretly. This simple adventure tells that an interesting film. 9 out of 10.
Do they think, okay, here's the thing about the fucking meeting point of flat earth and alien. Do they also think the aliens come from other flat planets, or do they just think the Earth is flat? Do they think they're all discs?
We're all just CDs spinning in space, baby.
Do the aliens also come from a flat planet?
We're all just CDs that God has put into his 6-disc CD player, all right?
We're all we're all in the boot of God's car.
And he's just letting us repeat.
And we're all like, God, why don't you get a more up-to-date car? You can plug in your smartphone.
Yeah, just use Spotify, man.
I just like it.
Well, Michelle, that was that Flat Earthers review of Area 51?
Yeah, it was.
What's your review of Area 51?
Look, I mean, there's nothing redeemable about this movie, but you know what my biggest complaint is?
What?
Is that, like, I don't know if I've seen any other found footage movies that aren't spooky horror. You know, like, we've made that distinction when drawing between, like, Spookums in April versus Halloween. Spooky supernatural, different than Halloween, vampire, Frankenstein, werewolf, right? Uh-huh. Different. I don't feel like I've seen or heard of a found footage that isn't spooky ghost, except for this one, where they're like, oh, it's not spooky ghost. Now, it alien. And it real place, Area 51, real place. But the problem, they just made it spooky alien. It's still spooky ghost. They still made a spooky ghost movie.
They did.
But they went to a real place and then said it was a spooky off-screen wet alien. Did we ever see it? I don't think we do.
No. There's nothing.
It's spooky ghost again.
Nothing cool or scary about someone getting dragged away by a force we can't see.
Yeah, it's not scary. Make it alien.
What if it's just a strong wind?
Also, it's not, you know, obviously the aliens don't need to speak English or anything, but these seem bestial, but they have incredibly advanced ship technology.
Yeah, they have like porridge on a stove, man.
You can go, you know, because what gets me when you wait until the very end to even bother with the aliens is that if that's the fucking midpoint, and we go, oh my God, there's a spooky alien. Think of how much further you can go with the remaining 45 minutes of this movie, you know? Mm-hmm. That's what I liked about fucking Horizon Zero Dawn. Weird pull in the moment. But what I thought was going to happen in, like, the third act, I was like, I know what's going to happen. It happened, like, fucking 2 hours into the game. And I'm like, oh, we can go so much further now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Holy shit. And then I was like, okay, so we're not going to get any information until the end? No. And, like, even, like, the middle, we're I'm like, oh, we can go so much further in this plot that's by like just cutting out the middle bit of getting there.
That's the beauty of kind of twisting around a structure and that you can trick people into thinking they're further through something than they are.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I love it when I think I'm in a third act, but I'm like, holy shit, that wasn't the third act. That was the end of the second act. Now we're going into the third act.
Last Jedi is my favorite example of that, because you're like, yeah, all the plans are working, and then no, they're not. And then that's how the theme lands. Good fucking movie.
It's great.
Complete contrast to this, which I think probably another zero out of 10. It's nothing.
You know what? I'm inclined to agree. I don't want to waste any further time talking about this absolute shit pile of a film. 0 out of 10.
I don't want to give this one a minus because I'm reserving that for something that offends me. Although, to be fair, I wish it didn't show what I don't know if it's real, but maybe it's real footage of Iraqis getting bombed while they make fun of them. That was pretty awful. Yeah, you know what? Minus 0.2, just so it's lower than Devil Inside.
Love it. Guys, don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us on Twitter under Rate Descent Pod. You can find us on TikTok under Rating Descending. Or you can email us at ratingdescending@gmail.com.
Hey, or, you know, you could also, if you want to just have a more singular moment, you could find us on our own social media. You can find me on both Twitter and Instagram at michelle.stclair.
And I'm on Instagram under Abigail J. Ward.
And pretty please, if you have the time, it would be super sweet if you could leave us a review. You can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or anywhere else that you can rate and review podcasts.
And don't forget to leave us a review anywhere that you're listening to your podcast on Spotify.
That's what I just said.
Oh my God.
I just said that.
What the fuck? I'm crazy. Well, Michelle, keep that in. Well, Michelle... That was Area 51. What are we watching next week?
I'm sleepy. next week we're watching, and forgive my pronunciation, we haven't watched it, the Turkish comedy Recep İvedik 2. We'll find out how it's pronounced when we watch it.
I'm excited to deviate away from America for a while after this fucking episode.
And it's, guys, not a horror movie.
Yay! Yeah. And it's not found footage?
Yeah.
Woo!
I mean, it looks like it's going to be bad, but I can
deal with that.
I don't know a whole lot about Turkey. I know a little bit, but... I'm excited to find out what's up with this Recep İvedik and why does he have two movies?
Yeah.
I actually am pretty sure, just to give an advance warning, we also do 3, 4, and 5 later.
No way. Yeah. Actually, I'm keen.
This is going to be one of the most frequent franchises we do.
I'm excited. It's a Turkish franchise. Yeah. I'm down for that.
This is not even the only Turkish movie we're doing.
Yeah, the last one is Turkish, isn't it?
The last one's Turkish, and there's another one that's coming up later in the year, Enes Batur, which is like a Turkish YouTuber's movie.
I'd love to know more about like the Turkey film industry,
guys,
to be honest.
It's been all about America with only some slight deviations. Guys, get ready for some Turkey.
Yeah,
gobble,
baby.
Gobble, am I right?
Gobble, bitch.
Gobble, gobble, because it's time for Turkey.